As many of you know, we did an event on campus a few weeks ago. This will actually relate to the message. But we had at least five people give their lives to Christ. Come on. Some of them are actually here this morning. Physical healings. Multiple people actually got physically healed. The girl named Lahisa, her leg grew. She talked about this. She said, I saw they were praying for me at the tent, and I saw my leg physically grow. And she said, I had been to a physical therapist for years for back issues, and the physical therapist told her, your problem is one of your legs is shorter than the other. And so they were doing all this physical therapy, and she went to the event. She said, I saw it grow, but she's like, I still did not believe that actually happened. She's like, it was so wild that it happened. I couldn't believe. So then she went back to her physical therapist without saying anything, and the physical therapist said, did your leg grow? Like, what happened? She's like, your leg's the same size as the other one now. What happened? And she got to tell her about what God did that night. There was a bunch of healings, a lot of deliverance, people who couldn't sleep through the night, all of a sudden able to sleep, hadn't been able to sleep in weeks or months, and just incredible accuracy as people prayed for others. Like, as they were praying, they just got words from God that were not just kind of around the idea of what is accurate about their lives, but spot on. There was incredible favor all around the event, so much so, I could just talk about so many things this morning, but one of the cool things was just how God does incredible things. Just to kind of sign off on the event, there's a guy named Chandler who showed up from Mr. Beast. If you're 25 and under, you know who this is. And so Chandler's, you know, one of the most influential people in the world in terms of online with young people. He shows up to the event, and people are walking up, and he's asking them, hey, you should stay, and it was just like God all over the event. There's one thing after another, salvations and baptisms and healings and prophecy, an incredible night, incredible night. And one of my favorite parts is just watching not just the professional ministers minister the power of God, but ordinary everyday people, right? All of us who've been given that's everybody. Everybody's been given a measure of power and a measure of to be able to see God move on the earth today. And so we got to see that happen. And so as I was thinking about it at the end, I said, man, what a great event. And sometimes you have such a great event, you think, that can just be the end of it, right there. And then, you know, 30 years from now, we can still be talking about that night, can't we? We can still be talking about, remember that one time 30 years ago where God moved? Oh, yeah, I was a part of a campus ministry, and I prayed for somebody that night, and all of a sudden, they actually got healed. It was incredible. Well, then it's kind of a question of, yeah, but what's happened the last 30 years? And you see, those events are not supposed to be one-time events in our life. It's supposed to be a whole life full of the power of God, of salvations, of prayers answered. It shouldn't be that long between one testimony and the next. It shouldn't be a decade. Like your last testimony or last time you really saw God move miraculously was 10 years ago. It ought to be a continual life of seeing God move on a regular basis. Amen? Come on. I mean, we should be seeing healing, deliverance, prophecy, salvations on a regular basis. It shouldn't be when I was 20, I went to an event and I saw this happen. No, 2 years ago, a year ago, a few months ago, this week I saw God do this. I saw this person get healed. I prayed for this. It came through. Praise God. And so that's what we want. So what we want is not just an anointed moment. You guys might remember last time I preached, I talked about having the anointing of God, and the anointing of God is when the power of God hits your gifting. The power of God hits your gifting. It's when all of a sudden your gifting, your God-given gifting is multiplied, or something supernatural happens that you just could not have done yourself in your own strength. And so there's anointed moments, but we're supposed to be, we're called to an anointed life. An anointed life. We all love telling stories of yesteryear, but we should have an anointed moment that God is moving again and again throughout our days and weeks and months and years. And so an anointed life is when he moves regularly. And an anointed life means you don't just see God move occasionally, you begin to see God's power move more regularly in your life. So anointed life has a lot to do with the anointing as it relates to authority. So as I was preparing even last time for my message, I remember thinking anointing is associated, right? Anointing is when you take oil and you like literally pour it on somebody or smear it on somebody. In the Bible, when that happens, often power will come on that person, or an ability for to see God's power, or authority will come on that person. And so we didn't get to talk about authority last time, and that's what we're going to talk about this time. So, the anointed life, and that is walking in God's authority that he's given you as a believer. So when the power of God shows up in your life consistently, it stops being a moment. It becomes God's authority on your life. And so how do you do that your whole life? How do you walk out God's authority, not just at these moments, which are great and very expensive, but how do you walk it out every day? Because you can't do a tent revival every week, right? You can't just be like, well, we're waiting on the next one. No, you are the tent revival wherever you go. You are the God's given you the ability to walk this out every day of your life, in every grocery store. You know, I was with Ernie Kruger, and we were in Starbucks together, and he's, you know, he's just chumming it up with everybody. And so sometimes you think it's a little easier to chum it up when you're out of town, you know, like, you know, be a little bit more evangelistic when you're not in your hometown, because you don't have to worry about running into anybody. I don't think Ernie's like that. I guess because he's in a different country. He's from South Africa. But every time I'm ever with him, Nashville, anywhere, he is always telling somebody about Jesus. So we met this guy named Sam. We're in Starbucks. And he just starts talking to Sam. And next thing you know, Ernie's sharing his testimony. And Sam's actually like really interested. And I'm like, this is incredible. And he just tent revival right there. Begins to pray for Sam. Sam, we exchange numbers. And then afterwards, Sam texts me. He was like, hey, so thank you so much for meeting earlier. It really meant a lot. I'm like, that's the power of God right there. That can't be manufactured. We can't make that happen. That's just God coming on that moment and giving us influence into his life. And now I'm trying to meet with him next week. You can pray that happens in Jesus' name. So this is what you're called to do. This is what I'm called to do. And it's a lot of fun. Walking around grocery stores, praying for people, asking God for things, and seeing them come. It's an incredible life that God has for us. He doesn't want us to miss it, but we've got to walk out our authority. And so in order to understand how we can walk out our authority in daily life, we're going to look at anointing as it relates to authority in the Bible. So if you turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 15, you see this with Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much, God, for your word, for the anointing on our life as believers. Every believer has been given dominion. Every believer has been given influence. Every believer has been given the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray we would take that power, dominion, authority you've given us everywhere in our lives. God, we push back on the gates of darkness. And God, push your kingdom forward in the days that you've given us in a mighty way. God, let us walk this out. Help us this morning, Holy Spirit. Reveal to us these areas that we can tap more into the God-given authority you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. So 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13 says this. If you guys know the context here, Samuel is going to King Saul. King Saul has been given an order by the Lord through Samuel. And Saul is supposed to destroy the Amalekites. These guys are bad news. He's not supposed to leave the king or, you know, be nice to the king. He's like, this guy's a bad dude. You have to take him out. And not only that, but I want you to take out all of the animals and livestock. I don't want any of that. Sacrifice to me. I want none of it. I want you to do what I say. I've given you authority to do this. Now go do it. And so this is what happens, though. Verse 13, Samuel comes to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord. But wow, he did not fully carry it out. He only partially carried it out, and to the degree that we'll see that he wanted to. So verse 14 says this, but Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Right? So he could hear the sheep in the background that were supposed to be killed. He can hear them. Like, Samuel's like, hang on a second, Saul. You said you did God's will, but what is this I hear? You were not faithful with the sheep, were you? Verse 15, Saul said, they have brought them, the people who he's in charge of, from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord, your God. But the rest we have utterly destroyed. You see, Saul's getting real religious. He was given a command, but now he's like, well, I kept these things for you, Lord. I did this for you, right? Verse 16, then Samuel said to Saul, wait and let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And so Saul said, well, go ahead and speak. And Samuel said, is it not true that though you were little in your own eyes, you were made head of the tribes of Israel? So at one point when Saul was given authority, he saw himself as small in his own eyes. And that's a great way to tap into God's authority, is to see yourself small in your own eyes. You know, Pastor Irwin, I heard someone say about him, they said he's small in his own eyes, and he operates in incredible authority in the prophetic, but I think that's because he sees himself as small in his own eyes. And it goes on to say, 18, and the Lord sent you on a mission. He said God gave you a mission. He told you exactly what to do. He didn't say deviate from the script, do this, that. He said, I want you to do this. I've given you authority. Here's what I want you to do with that authority. And go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Verse 19, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord? Verse 20, then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord, and I went on the mission which the Lord sent me, and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Verse 21, but the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the choicest of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to your God at Gilgal. And this is where Samuel says, Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in, this is so key, in obeying the voice of the Lord? He tried to get religious. He said, you're trying to get all religious. Well, I did the sacrifice. I did what I thought was right. He said, but did you obey God's voice? So key. So key. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination. Wow. And insubordination is iniquity and idolatry. He's saying you are insubordinate to your maker. You decided not to follow my words. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. You see here that Saul is having his authority removed. He's losing his authority. Verse 24, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord in your words, because I have feared the people and not listened to your voice. That is incredible. That's a good way to lose authority with God, is to care more about what other people think, to be big in your own eyes. That's how you lose the God-given authority that he's given you. And he wants to expand your authority. God's a good father. You know, I have children. I have teenagers. And I want to give them more free. I want to give them more authority. I want to give them more chance. You know, like Liam's about to learn how to drive. I was really hoping that driverless cars would have been a thing by now. It did not happen. So he will be driving his car to places. I can't even imagine, truly. But that's the thing. The Father wants to give you more authority. He wants to give you more ability to be free and go places and do things and see God move. But there's some things that give us a hiccup. Now, there's some things that we can do that help us have more authority and walk in that freedom. And it's in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6. When they came, he took, this is about David. So just a few verses down, it's going from Saul to David. The authority. When they came, he looked on, this is Samuel, he looked on Eliashib and thought, this is one of David's brothers, Samuel's there to anoint a new king. Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. I have rejected one of David's good-looking, probably muscular brothers. And you think, this guy could be king. That's what Samuel thought. Like, this is a dude. God said, no, you're missing it. I'm not looking on the outside. I'm looking on the inside. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks in the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You know, I thought this was a lot of scripture this morning, but I kept feeling like God said, you have to read this part. You have to. I think there's some of you that really don't see yourself as you ought to. You think my appearance is not great, or I'm not great of stature, or you know, those are for other people. It's just not true. Anybody who's in God's kingdom, he wants to put his authority on. He wants to put it, in fact, he loves to take those who are small in their own eyes and make them great in his kingdom. So you are well positioned. If you think, well, I don't got a whole lot going on in the natural for me. One, that's probably not totally true, but let's just say it is for some reason, right? The Bible says those who are least in the kingdom. So that means there is somebody who's least in the kingdom, right? So I hope it's not me, right? We're all like, I hope that's not me. But hey, he said he who is even least in the kingdom is greater than Moses. He says, since the days of John the Baptist till now, those the kingdom is forcefully advancing, and those who move it, take it by force. And then he goes on to say in that same chapter, Matthew 11, that those who are least in the kingdom are greater than John the Baptist. Does that make sense? Did you follow that? And so he says, till the days of John the Baptist until now, there are those who are in the kingdom that are greater than John, if you're in the kingdom. That's a lot of great people. That's Abraham, that's David, that's these heroes of faith. So if you're the least in the kingdom, you're greater than those guys. Praise God. That means you have the more authority and power. And so if you are small in your own eyes, that's the perfect place to be. And it's something that God would want to exalt and put his influence and his favor on. So you need to let that hit you, that God loves to find people, if you see yourself like that, just like you, and raise you up. Amen? And I even feel like, compelled to tell you this. We have a church in the Philippines. And in the Philippines, the Filipinos will tell you, they're like, we're not, like, in our understanding, the greatest of all the Asians. That's what they would say that. They would say, we understand, we're not the biggest of stature. We don't have, like, the most advanced technology, all that. But over there, right now, is a church that we're connected to, that's a part of our church network, that has 130,000 or something Christians in it who are getting saved all day and taking the gospel all over the earth. This incredible work of God coming out of these humble people. Humble people who are not great in their own eyes. Irwin's from the Philippines, you know what I mean? Just if you've ever got to be ministered to them, it's incredible. What is that? And that's what God wants to do with some of you this morning, to raise you up, to give you authority, to give you power to see God's will come. Some of you guys who feel the least are going to be some of the greatest, even in this house, even on campus, even at your workplace, even in your family. God's going to lift you up, and it's going to be incredible. Amen? Verse 11, then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is keeping the sheep. See, David's doing the right thing with the sheep. He's being faithful with the sheep that he's been given. He's obeying God in the realm of sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and go get him, for we will not sit here till he comes. And he sent, and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy, which means red, which as an Irish person, an Irish heritage, I like this verse. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And I like to think that beautiful eyes and handsome just is really part of the ruddy part, right? It's his eyes were beautiful, and he was handsome because he was ruddy. That's not what it says, but that's how I read it. And the Lord says, arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of the oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. It was on him from that day forward, the Spirit of God. Let it be for us that the Spirit of God is on us all of our days from this day forward, that we can walk in the Holy Spirit all of our days. Verse 14 says, now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And this is interesting, isn't it? The Spirit got off of Saul, and in the midst of that vacuum, here comes an evil spirit. A harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. And Saul's servant said to him, behold, now a harmful spirit from God is tormenting you. And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David, who has the Spirit on him, took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. Okay, so that's a lot to say this. The last sermon was about how the anointing comes on your gifting and multiplies it. This is how to sustain the authority of God in your whole life, so it's not just a moment here and there, but it's continual. Even it can be every week. Every day you see the move of God in some way, whether small or big, but you've got testimonies your whole life. So anointing authority. Paul is given an anointed authority. Authority works like this with the believer. You have dominion authority as a believer. There are certain things God has given you absolute, complete authority over. So you don't have to like second guess. Like your mind, God has given you authority, complete dominion over your mind. You don't have to guess 10 years from now, has God given me authority over my mind? No. When thoughts come in, I can choose to believe those or cast those thoughts out. Does that make sense? If you have a household, if you know your mom and dad, you have a household. If you're dad, you're in your household, you've got spiritual authority in that household, right? So if there's any kind of demonic presence or anything, you can cast that right out, no problem. And I use that all the time. I feel like something maybe a little bit is off, and I say, in the name of Jesus, be gone. And I don't guess, did it leave or did it not leave? That sucker's gone. Why? Because God has given me this dominion. This is my authority that he's given me over my house. Make sense? Same thing with your body. Same thing with your will. These are things God's like, you have absolute authority and dominion over. You choose to do with my power in that area what you want for my purposes. Then you've got influential authority, right? This is like where you don't have just complete authority. You can't just boss everything around, but you've been given influence over an area of people, or, you know, your grades would be one of those things where if you're a student, God has given you authority as a believer with your grades. So you can, if the grades are not going so well, but you're first seeking God's kingdom, you can use your God-given authority to help those grades out. And I did that a lot in college. So I would like, Lord, this is not going well for me. I've got a C. I would really like a B or an A. And I kid you not, one time I went to my professor. I was like, God, I really need help here. I'm like doing pretty bad. This is going to hurt my GPA. And I went to my professor and I said, I would really like a better grade in your class. I just threw it out there. And he said, well, what grade do you want? And I was like, B plus would be great. He was like, done. I was like, this is awesome. So just saying, if you're right, just try. I mean, what's the harm, right? So you can ask God's favor to come. You can say, before I go meet with this professor, Lord, give me favor. Give me anointing. God, I just pray that grade would bump up. Joel Sutton was one of the best people to use his God-given authority and the power of God in the realm of grades. That guy had a circuit board that caught on fire. That was his final project, and there, Michael can attest to this, and others who are all shaking their heads, yes, this is exactly what happened. It caught on fire, would not work, and Joel Sutton was like, Lord, I really believe you want me to pass. This will fail me. I will be here another like year or couple, you know, in a whole other semester. So he's like, I just pray in the name of Jesus, this circuit board that has clearly been on fire, it comes to life again. Kid you not, he plugged it in, and it worked. And he got like an A on the project or something like that. Praise God, yes. So it's just fun. But you don't want, Joel doesn't want that story just to be, well, when I was in college, this one time happened. He wants it to be where he's at work right now, right? He's working in Greensboro or wherever God calls you. You want to start to see that kind of thing on repeat. Amen? So this is one way authority looks. Paul talks about this. He says the authority, 2 Corinthians 10, I think it's verse 4 or 8. The authority the Lord gave us for building you up. This is in the influence category of authority. God has given you an area to conquer, to bring his power into, to advance in some way. And so if it's school, great. If it's your workplace, great. If it's your home, great. And what you want to do is say, God has given me authority to build this thing up. So what that means is I can begin to pray for God's power to come in it. I can begin to pray for miracles to happen. I can begin to pray for God's angels to come. And I know this might sound a little sensational this morning, but it's just all over the Bible. I don't know what to do. There's healings and miracles and testimonies all throughout the scriptures. And I'll tell you this, and hopefully I won't lose credibility, and I'm okay if I do a little bit, but you know, the other day we just had this incredible event on campus. I was hosting, our national director was here. We were seeing some good fruit over at Shaw. We met with a football player. It went really great. And he's trying to get us over to the team now. And I'm meeting with him next week to do the one-to-one. Just like open door, open door, open door. Praise God. Well, then I'm driving to Chapel Hill to go with Ernie to our other large group over there. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Melissa calls me. She's a nurse, and so, you know, anytime she calls me with a medical concern, I take it seriously, you know. Her dad was a doctor. She knows what she's talking about. And she's like, hey, Jovi, our dog, by the way, it's a dog story. Our dog is not doing very well. she's like, I'm really concerned. Like, I think we might have to take her to the vet. I don't know if they might have to do something, you know, invasive. I just don't know. And just in that instance, I thought, God has given me authority over my house. And then that little dog, I'm speaking it right now. So we prayed right there on the phone. We said, in the name of Jesus, be gone. If there's anything coming against this dog, anything trying to steal happiness from my family, we rebuke it, bind it, and cast it out. I kid you not, immediately, you can ask Melissa, immediately the dog went from this is bad to it's fine. What just happened? And again, if it wasn't coming from Melissa, you know, I'd be like, I don't know. But we don't love spending money on vets. I don't know about any of you guys. It's not like our first place. We're like, we can't wait, burn some cash. We avoid that. But she was like, we got to do this. And I said, well, let's pray first. And sure enough, bam, the power of God. It's practical every day, you know. Was it a revival on campus? No, it was a tent revival for a little dog, you know. It can happen everywhere all the time. So where has God given you authority? He gave Paul authority to the Gentiles, to the churches that he was over. God has given you that. Begin to bring the power of God into those places of influence and authority that God has given you. So what this feels like, when you have authority, you don't have to like force things. This isn't about being loud per se. You can get loud, but it's not the loudness that's doing it, it's the power of God. So for instance, Percy, who does deliverance ministry, he's pretty quiet. I don't know if you guys, you know, if you ever met Percy, some of the students have, he'll get up there and he'll be like, in the name of Jesus, be gone, demon. And then all of a sudden, it's just like this freedom hits people. And then he was saying that the guy that he respects, one of the people he respects the most who does deliverance ministry, is even quieter. He's like, yeah, he's got kind of I don't know if he said shrill voice or something like that, but he's like, it's kind of high and squeaky. He's like, and the guy will be like, in the name of Jesus, be gone. And he's like, it's not like, bam, thunder. Like, this is incredible. Like, wow. Like, you know, Billy Graham is preaching at those demons. No, no, no. It's like something you would just dismiss and be like, this guy? Lord, this guy? And it's like, yeah, that guy. Because when you have authority, that's how it works. There's clarity, there's weight, there's effect. It's not personality, charisma, just confidence, leadership skills. It's the power of God on your life for the influence that he's given you. And so you see this with Acts 19, the sons of Sceva, they try to cast out the demon. They're throwing different names at the thing. And Paul just shows up, be gone, in Jesus' name. And that's the authority you're supposed to walk in as a believer. Spiritual authority isn't loud. It's effective. It's effective. So, do you want to be effective at your school area that God's given you, the dominion of school that God's given you? What about in your job? What about your life, your marriage, your kids, your grandkids, your church? Then you need to learn to walk in this authority. You need to learn that. But I just want to start off letting you know you've got it. You've got authority over these areas to bring the power of God at your workplace. Even with your friend group. You know, Billy Graham did these incredible crusades. But those crusades, and he would say this, not exactly in these words, but those crusades were backed on people using their influence to bring their friends. Does that make sense? If all those people did not use the authority God gave them in their lives to invite their friends, nobody shows up to those conferences, to those big moves of God, right? Nobody shows up to hear him if no one takes their friends. And so God has given you people in your life that there's some ears that will only listen to you. There's some ears that will only listen to Michael, you know? And they won't listen to me. And that's not just because I can't speak Espanol. No, but really, like his sister, for instance, incredible testimony, you know, like recently of his sister giving her life to Christ and all these things. But you know what? She listened to Michael because God gave Michael influence, authority of influence over her life to say, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, what do you think about that? Hey, you should come to this. And she did. The same thing is true for every believer. There's a group of people around you that only Laron has people at his work. They're not going to listen to me if I invite them. But God has given them to Laron to invite to things like this, to invite to outreaches, to say, hey, why don't you come with me? And they will listen to him, and they would never listen to me. And so it's all the believers using their God-given authority to make this incredible change in the world. I was talking to a CEO recently, you know, because I'm just always talking to CEOs. What can I say? No, this is like rare for me, okay? It like never happens. But I was talking to a CEO recently, and as I was talking to him, he was like, you know, I realized I wasn't using my authority and my job. I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be like Saul in a way, trying to make the people happy, scared what people would think. And he's like, I knew what I was supposed to do. I knew what God wanted me to do. And doing what God wants you to do isn't always nice. It isn't. Sometimes it's like, this is what God's saying, and I've just got to do it. And this is, I got to cut off this relationship, God's saying it, and I've got to do it. I can't go back and forth. Sometimes you like want to reach out. I've had one time in my life where I wanted to reach out and rebuild a relationship, and God said, I don't want you to do that right now. And I said, okay, well, the default is to love, to care, but you're speaking that, so I'm going to back off. The point in saying all this is, when you have a group of influence, you want to begin to pray God's power down into those. God has uniquely given you that concentric circle. He's uniquely given you your oikos, your group of people. And in that, you have authority to pray for angels to come to help them, for healings to happen, for miracles, to give them prophetic words. Use that. Don't wait to get, if I can just get them to church, somebody else can do it. You begin to do it. You begin to pray over them and be like, you know, I don't know exactly if this is the Lord, but I just feel like there's this going on in your life, and I just wanted to tell you. And then they're like, that encourages me. Where do you go to church? You know, they're like, oh, yeah, I'll go to this church up here. You should come and be a part. It's amazing. So you've got authority. You've got authority. Use it. Don't be like the CEO. You're CEO of your group, your oikos. Begin to use power. Don't be scared of using it. Begin to pray for people. Pray for miracles. So if you're a college student, you need to begin to exercise authority over your grades, college students. Now, this is coming into exam time, so I know some of y'all are like tuned in right now as much as you've ever been. You need to begin to pray God will help your grades, give you favor, change grades, do what God did in Joel's life. And then if that happens, come tell somebody. Like, let us know. Like, I prayed for this and God did this. Praise God. And that will actually encourage others to begin to be as bold as well. If you're a retiree, authority is not maintained by position. It's maintained by continual obedience to God. You need to keep being obedient. There's so many people that quit early, that quit before the race is over. Moses lived to 120. So I was talking to somebody who was 80 not long ago, and I said, well, you know, Moses started his ministry at 80. You're just getting started. What are you talking about shutting down? We're on our way up here, folks. Come on, all the way to the end. CEO, your words carry authority when they're spoken. You need to use your power. If you're a boss or a business leader and God's already spoken to you, he said, do this, do it, yield and do it. Watch what God does. And that brings us to our next point is you get to access the power of God if you yield to the mission God's given you. You get to access the power of God in the authority that he's given you if you yield to God's mission for your life. 1 Samuel 15:18 said this about Saul. It said, the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they were exterminated. But he didn't do it. And so I know of a pastor who one time told me, he said, it was like for 20 years of ministry, everything I prayed for just came to be. It just came into existence. And I was able to help people and stuff, but one day it just dried up. Now, I don't know exactly what happened to him, but from this verse, I would think, it was like the authority, the power of God was taken away from you because maybe you didn't yield somewhere. And the more God authority gives you, the more you got to be sensitive to what he might be saying. And so with that said, Saul stopped being aligned with God. Real authority comes, walking the anointing continually comes. The power of God comes when your prayers shift. And this is really, really important. This is super important. Probably the most important thing I'll say is this. When you go from, God, I really want this house, give me that house, to God, what house do you want? God, I really want my kids to go to this school. God, you know my dreams. There's nothing wrong with those, if the ones you put there. But God, what school do you want my kids to go to? God, I really want to get a 4.0 in this major. God, what do you want? Is this it? Or is there something else? That's the relationship with God is like, Lord, not my will be done, but yours. Because he, as we talked about last week, Easter Sunday, Good Friday, is that not what he said for us in the garden? Not my will be done, but yours, Father. No servant is above his master. And so when we all go to God, and that's where life and authority and influence flows as we yield to the Lord. On the big topics of alignment, assignment is another way to say it. So whatever your assignment is, have you yielded? Have you truly yielded your assignment, your job, God? Every now and then you should ask the Lord, God, I'm praying for my job. Is this the job you want for me? Every now and then you should ask. Not every day, that's crazy, right? But every now and then you should be like, Lord, I just want to do your will here, not mine. So Lord, I just want to make sure we're good. And sometimes he might say, you're right, you're missing it. Because Saul thought, I'm following the Lord, voice of the Lord. I'm following the voice of the Lord. And he was not. So we want to continue to yield. But as you continue to yield, the power continues to come on you. David continued to yield. As long as he did that, the power of God was there. Remember, yielding 10 years ago, great, yield today. That's great you yielded 10 years ago when you were young. Yield today. And with your assignment that God has given you today, crush it. Like if God tells you, yes, I want you at that job, amen, then you go all in on that job. You make that the best thing you've ever done. You know your assignment if you're a dad or a mom is to those kids. You crush your current assignment as a father or mother. You put everything, no holds bar. God, you've given me this. I'm using power. I'm using authority. I'm thinking about this. I'm praying about this. I ain't going anywhere on this. You have given me dominion. You've given me influence. I'm going all in. You know, years ago for me, I came into campus ministry. In campus ministry world, you know, the big show in campus ministry world, you know, an Elf, talk about the big show. I don't know if you guys remember that little line from Elf where he says, like, you know, the big show is, I think, helping Santa, you know, or something like that. But the big show in campus ministry world is, you know, in the head of the person, in the missionary is, oh, one day I'll be a church planter. Does that make sense? So it's like, oh, one day, you know, this campus ministry thing at the time was like, that's just a stepping stone to my next assignment. And I remember God knocking on the door of my heart saying, that's not what you're supposed to be doing right now. And I was like, no, that's not the Lord. Churches are good. They're from God. Just like Saul. Right? Just like Saul. Saul's like, well, I'm here to sacrifice for you, Lord. It's really about you, Lord. And God kept saying, no, you need to submit in this area. And I was like, I don't really want to submit in that area. I had some other plans for my life. And God said, even though that's a good thing, that's not a God thing. And so I began to pray, and I said, God, I will do this as long as you want me to. Not my will be done, but yours. And I kid you not, right after that, I got a promotion, and then I got another promotion, and then I got another promotion within like a span of 5 or 6 years. And that was from yielding. The point wasn't the promotions. I wasn't after the promotions. It was just like God, as I yielded, he gave me more authority. And as you yield, he'll give you more authority. But I tell you what, as he gives you more, you better tune that ear in to the Lord as he gives you more and more authority, because you want to be in step with the Lord. And it's so easy to get out of step. It's so easy for any of us at any stage in life to get out of step. And I kind of think that, yes, what happens, this is how people lose their God-given authority over time. The way they lose their God-given authority over time is they get to a place, or they want to get to a place of ascendancy. Even Moses did this. So Moses strikes the rock, doesn't he? At the end of his life, I mean, he's getting like towards the end, and he just gets annoyed and frustrated. He wants things to be easier, and bam. He wants to be comfortable. And Saul was not willing to come off the crown. You know, I've done all the, you know, you'll hear sometimes people say in their 40s, 50s, 60s, oh, I've done the whole church thing. I've led life groups. You know, that's all behind me. No, behind you, we're here to build up God's church. It's the very thing that pushes back the gates of hell. Come on, we're not here to like, well, I did it then, and now, no way, you're missing it, man. You're missing it. Everybody wants to ascend to a place of comfort. I agree, but that is in the next life, okay? We get comfort here and there. There's times where it is easy, but I tell you what, that's not where I'm trying to go or keep. I mean, I am, but God helps me to say, let it go. This is going to be hard for you, but I want you to let it go. I want you to invite your friend. I want you to, even at 40, stop to talk to some random college student at Starbucks, no matter how awkward it is, and you don't know all the Gen Z stuff, and they think you're cringe and all that. I don't, you know, it's like, God help me. And then I get real bold, and I'm like, I just start using their Gen Z language in the wrong way, and I'm like, I don't even care anymore. Here it is. You know, I don't even try this morning to even tell you what I say. But anyway, so the Lord uses it, though. I'll tell you that much. Everybody wants to ascend to the place, but bring in, you know, think about this. Saul stopped yielding, lost the crown. Moses stopped yielding and struck the rock. Peter stopped yielding and had to be corrected by Paul. Remember that time he starts hanging out with the Jewish people? But thankfully, Peter humbled himself and was like, he's right. He's right. And you can do that too. Abraham was the hero in this way. Throughout the end of his life, God says, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac. And he says, throughout the story, it's the only time Abraham doesn't try to dance or manipulate or change it or twist it. He just says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And that's as he's getting up there. He could have said, have I not gone through enough already? Have I not sacrificed so much now? I mean, I waited this long to have children. I did all this stuff for you, and I'm done. Nope. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because we are all under his authority. And the truth of the matter is, we all still have sin and selfishness in our heart. And that's why we have to yield when God asks us to. Because we don't always know what we're doing and not doing, you know, as it relates to our motives. We don't always know I'm doing this for the right reason, I'm doing that for not. I mean, Saul was really off on this. He really thought I'm doing the right thing, and it was really for himself. And as Samuel kept digging, it came up. So it's a thing of, like, we are not fully sanctified, so we have to yield. And sometimes that yielding is just like, I don't understand this. This is tough for me, but yes, Lord. And on the back end, there's almost always some level of victory. Paul did this more than anybody. And I want to bring up Paul because he does this in the New Testament like Abraham does in the Old. Paul is an old man going to prison. But he's like, I want to run that race all the way to the end. And what's really neat is that Paul's spiritual power is going up at the end. So at the very end of his life, Paul is he's actually being escorted to Rome to be jailed for his faith, and they crash on Malta. And even cessationist scholars will say it's hard for us to understand this passage because we want to say Paul's power is diminishing as he gets older, as this idea of like the Holy Spirit doesn't get as, you know, is getting less strong and less strong over the course of the church. That's the opposite of what happens on the island. Paul gets bit by a snake. Do you remember that? And he shakes the snake into the fire and it dies. At first, all the locals are like, you're going to die. You're evil. You're cursed. And then they're like, you're God. People are funny. And then the next thing that happens is he goes to the guy who's in charge of the whole island and he heals him from the dead. And then they begin to do many miracles on that island and many people get saved. The power level goes up in the end of his life because he's yielded. And that will be like you too. You'll have the Power of Tent revival thing that some of you students were a part of. That'll just be just the beginning. And for those of you that are kind of stuck right now, you have those stories of yesteryear, but you don't have any right now, just begin to yield again. Lord, is there something you want? Lord, am I really aligned to your assignment? God, help me. I want to be Paul. I want to see the greatest miracles that are really ahead of my life, not behind me. The greatest salvations are ahead of my life, not behind me. But it does mean a true yielding, a true getting down and saying, Lord, what do you want? You've got to do that. Okay, so last part in all this is this. If you're an organizational leader, perhaps you're, you know, God's told you to, you know, do something with an employee and you haven't done it and you need to do it. And you're like, I know God keeps saying to do this, but I want to be nice. And it's like, God's like, nope, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. If you're a student and you're holding on to a relationship or chasing that specific internship because it makes sense for your future, but God has already spoken to you and said, I want you in this lane. Get in that lane. Get in that lane. Stop playing between two masters. Yield to the Lord and watch the power of God come. If you're a mother or father and you're over-functioning and you're, you know, trying to fix all your kids' problems and God has told you, pray for these children. When you pray for these children, that's when I move. Stop sitting around, you know, worried about it or anxious about it. Pray. You know I've given you authority to do it. Begin to use that authority. And if you're, you know, spiritually stuck, this happens sometimes in all of our lives. I was stuck, as I mentioned earlier, and I've been stuck since, and God's got me out of those holes. You're holding on to heavenly, you're holding on to your, you know, your version of your five-year plan because it feels responsible. But God is trying to hand you an interruption that carries your actual assignment. And maybe some of the tension you feel and the frustration you feel and this issue you keep running into in this other area of your life, perhaps that means you're not aligned like you ought to be. Just yield. And God will confirm it. You don't have to live like that forever. But if you keep hitting, it's like, well, I'll get unstuck. Perhaps you're unaligned. Amen? Finally, with all this, I just want to say this. As we get older, we start to think we've earned something, respect, comfort, a slower life, and maybe God gives us things at time, but we will never get to say, my will be done. It will always be like Abraham, God's will be done. And when you align with him, over time, you'll see the power of God, not being occasional, but being consistent. You'll see a new miracle, you see the testimony, and it's a good life. It's the one you're meant for. If you want to live this life God has for you, not just talk about the good old days, you need to. You need to yield. You need to also know God has given you authority. Start using it and watch what he does. So, some of you think nothing is happening, but heaven is putting weight on the bar. And over time, as you keep being faithful, some of you are like, I'm in alignment. I'm praying for things. Things are going good. And you're like, but I feel like there might be more later. There very well might be more later. And what God's doing is he's giving you the ability to lift weight and to carry weight and to get stronger and stronger, and your character's going up and your yielding's going up and your ability to hear the voice of the Lord's going up, because he does have something for you that you're going to need all those things. And he's getting you to that place. So yield again, yield again, yield again, and you'll walk in the authority of God all of your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, we just say yes. We don't want the title without the weight. We don't want the platform without the power of God, Lord. Make us a people who really, truly yield to you all of our days. And God, I just pray for anybody in here right now who knows that they do need to indeed yield in an area of their life. They need to resubmit something to you this morning and say, Lord, is this your will? If that's you this morning and you're like, yep, I'm a believer, but I know there's something God's been touching on, and this would be risky, but I need to bring it to the Lord. Is that you? If that's you, raise your hand right now so we can pray for you. Yes. Yep. I see hands up all over this place. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's just do this together. Say, Jesus, we yield all of our plans, all of our dreams, and the things we are currently doing right now to you. Come, have your way, make it clear to us, and send others to confirm it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Let's walk in the power of God.